ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Everyone wants to be happy. I don't have to tell you that. You didn't learn anything by me saying that. But then the question is how to be happy. That seems to be the problem. Everyone wants to be happy, but actually very few people are very happy. What's the riddle? What's the problem? The problem is that we don't have enough money. Well, we see many people have lots of money and they're not very happy. The problem is I wanted to marry the most beautiful woman in the world, but she's not interested in me, whoever she might be. Well, that's it? Most beautiful woman in the world? No?
I'm a girl.
You're a girl. All right. You are a girl. Well, that's the problem, actually. Thinking that I am this body and that I can be happy via this body. Because even if you happen to marry the most beautiful woman in the world or the most desired film, Bollywood, Tollywood, or whatever, film star, and you have lots of money, and you're famous, there's still at least four reasons why you're not going to be happy. And these are mentioned by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not some sectarian religious book, but it is a treatise of spiritual knowledge. So therein, Krishna points out what we all see, but we don't see. Pashyan api na pashyati. We see it all the time, but we don't see it because we're blind due to maya, illusion. Krishna points out, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. These are four problems. And even the sweet, smiling little girls can't avoid it. We all have to face birth, death, old age, and disease. Therefore, Krishna, pointing out what is spiritual knowledge, he says, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. The very unavoidable principle or characteristic of this material world is that there are the sufferings of birth, unavoidable sufferings of birth, death, old age, and disease, and that one characteristic of a person in spiritual knowledge is that he's always aware of this. He sees this. So, what does that mean? That there's no happiness, just give up. It's hopeless. Well, one thing we could do is all turn off our cell phones. Everyone has a cell phone, so please turn it off and life will be a little bit better. A little bit more happiness, at least for me, because you know, I don't like cell phones going off when I'm talking. Excuse me if it sounds egoistic, but we are supposed to be here for imbibing spiritual knowledge, and that is a disturbance in the course of doing so. So, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita also informs us that there is happiness, but the happiness in the material world is not real happiness at all. The happiness in this material world is one which Krishna describes as sangsparshaja bhoga, the enjoyment of the senses interacting with the sense objects. We like to see things that are pleasing. That can also be somewhat perverse. For instance, people pay money to go and see movies of people getting killed, people getting tortured. So that can be quite perverse also. But we like people go to movies because they like to see something which is appealing to them. Or they like to hear. Now that's in the modern age, you can choose all different kinds of music and have it in your iPod and listen. And this is appealing to the sense of hearing, and so on. Actually, this sangsparshaja particularly refers to the sense of touch. So the interaction of one skin with another skin, that is supposed to be the highest happiness in material existence, generally speaking. Although some people get pleasure out of driving a motor car very fast, 300 or more kilometers per hour. So that's some kind of happiness of risking your life. So Krishna says, Yehi sangsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evati. We think that interacting the senses with the sense objects is happiness, but it's actually the cause of distress. Adyantavanta kauntayana teshu ramate buddhaha. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't take pleasure in this, but that doesn't mean that he gives up the endeavor for pleasure. That is the natural propensity of every living being, not only little girls, but of every living being. Yeah, these are real plants. Sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference between a real one and a plastic one. They're real plants there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you'll find the plants, they'll grow toward the light, isn't it? So even in that very limited state of consciousness, they're seeking happiness. The plant has very little consciousness. Actually, they do have consciousness. There are experiments conducted by one thing, who is that? Jagadish Chandra Bose? Yeah, who saw that the plant, he was the first one to see that the plants, they're actually aware if someone is coming to cut them and they show some fear. So plants also have consciousness. So, nate sham ramate, buddhaha. An intelligent person doesn't take pleasure in sense enjoyment. But an intelligent person does take pleasure. It's not that he gives up the endeavor for pleasure, because everyone wants to be happy. But an intelligent person is a yogi. Yogi means one who gives up the endeavor for sense pleasure, for gross material sense pleasure. So this term is that nateshu ramate buddhaha. An intelligent person does not endeavor for gross, mundane, sensual pleasure. But where do they find happiness? Ramante yogino nante. The yogis, they have unlimited pleasure. You may think a yogi, he goes to a cave, he meditates, there's no pleasure. He withdraws himself from pleasure. But actually he has unlimited pleasure. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani. That is real pleasure, satyananda. And what is that? Chidatmani, on the spiritual platform. So what is that What is the source of that spiritual pleasure? Iti Rama Padena So Param Brahma Vidhiyate. That source of spiritual pleasure is Rama. Rama means all pleasure. So Iti Rama Padena So Param Brahma, and that is the He is the supreme truth. So an intelligent person understands that life is meant for spiritual cultivation, not for material cultivation. Now, we may think, well, what are we talking about this for in Kuwait? Because where are the yogis over here? This Kuwait is meant for materialistic endeavor. How can there be spiritual life in Kuwait? And after all, it appears that that most people here are married. And where's the spiritual life if you're married? How can you be a yogi? Well, this is all discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Interestingly, Bhagavad Gita, of course, was spoken by Krishna, although there are some Brahmit people who say that Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Shiva. Do you know about that? You ever heard of that? They're called Brahma Kumaris. That's why I say they're Brahmit. Bahut bara Brahm kiya hai. So they say that, a very strange idea. Everyone knows that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, but they say it's spoken by Shiva. Anyway, we won't go into talk about that. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's also, I quoted that verse in which Rama is said to be Param Brahma, the Supreme Absolute Reality. And in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna addresses Krishna as Param Brahma also. So Rama and Krishna are non-different. So Krishna is the supreme truth, but in his lila, when he was speaking to Arjuna, he was in the role of a grihastha, and Arjuna also. And Arjuna, he thought he wanted to renounce everything and become a yogi. But Krishna instructed Arjuna in some detail that a real yogi is one who does his duty without being attached. Anashrita karma palang karyang karma karoti yaha sasanyasi cha yogi cha naniragnena chakriyaha. Krishna told Arjuna that one who is not attached to the results of work, but works according to his duty, is the real sannyasi and the real yogi, not one who simply renounces everything. So then it's to be understood what is one's actual duty. And the actual duty of everyone is summarized by Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru. To always think of Krishna, to always worship Krishna, to be Krishna's devotee, to bow down to Krishna. So spiritual life, Krishna demonstrates by speaking to Arjuna that spiritual life is available to everyone. It's not that one has to officially accept sannyas to take up spiritual life. Although the position of a sannyasi is meant for complete dedication to spiritual practices, but particularly by the process of bhakti yoga, one can make very positive spiritual advancement in any situation. Because as the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that we are spiritual beings. You're a girl, is it? All right, so now you learn Bhagavad Gita, and you can understand that now you're a young girl, in the body of a young girl, but you are an eternal spiritual living being. Atma. How old are you?
Five.
You're five, all right. Where were you 6 years ago? Did you ever think about that? You're going to be six in October. All right. She's a bit young for all this philosophy. Although Prahlad, well, he was exceptional. We can't expect every child to be like Prahlad. Well, I could ask you, Mr. Veda Prakash, how old is that bag of bones that you are now presently sitting in? 30? 39 years old. Okay. So, do you know where you were 49 years ago? And many people will think, well, that's a stupid question, because I am 39 years old. But, actually, you're much older. You pull out your driving license and say, no, I'm 39. Means I was born in the year 1974, is it? Did I do my arithmetic? Okay, they taught me well enough at school that I can still do it without a calculator, unlike the kids nowadays. So, we learn from Bhagavad Gita. What's your name, by the way?
Priya.
Priya. Shia. Shia. Shiaram, as in Siaram. Okay. So, you are eternal. You are eternal. Yes, okay. A lot of philosophy for a little five-year-old girl. But actually, we are living before 1974, before 1874. If we think, what was the world like in the year 1000? We think, oh, such a long, we can hardly think of it. But we were living somewhere in this world. Maybe not in Kuwait, maybe not in India, maybe in a different planet altogether, maybe in a different kind of body altogether. But basically, although we may say, well, the world was very different 1,000 years ago, but, or 1,013 years ago, but actually the basic things were all the same. The birth, death, old age and disease was going on. People were thinking, I'm 39 years old, when they're eternal. And like that is... There may not have been oil refineries at that time, or Jazeera Airlines flights from Dubai to Kuwait, by which I came this morning. But eating, sleeping, mating, defending, growing old, dying, having children, being attached, thinking I am the body, this was going on. So, the yogis, they know that to be happy, we have to rise above the platform of thinking that I am this body. Because that is the basic illusion that ties us to this world of birth and death. So if we know we're not the body, and we cannot be happy by cultivating a sense of that I am this body, then we may think that, well, let I just leave everything and go away and just cultivate this exclusively, because what is important in this world? What is it? I mean, even our family relationships are ultimately not very important, because I've had so many families. When I had a dog mother and a cat mother and a cow mother and maybe Aditi was my mother one time. She's or Aditi. So we've had so many bodies. So the really important thing is to understand I'm not the body. I'm an eternal spiritual being meant for eternal happiness. So we should cultivate this exclusively. However, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita speaks to Arjuna very realistically. Arjuna had a similar thought. But Krishna told Arjuna that in what position you are in, you serve me in that situation and think of me. So in this Kali Yuga, which again we may think, how can we develop spiritual consciousness in Kali Yuga? It's so bad. Life is so short and the whole situation is so bad. Do you all want to sit down? I'm sure there's enough space if everyone just moves up a little bit. We're not the body, but we don't have to torture it. I mean, you could stand on one toe if you want and think you're more spiritually advanced. But if we... This kind of yoga you can do better with your ears. Now, I'm not saying you should stand on your ear. You could, but if you use your ear for its natural function of hearing the topics of Bhagavad Gita, which we're discussing. So, yes, that's what's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. How can we become spiritually advanced even in this Kali Yuga? And it all begins with hearing. But not just hearing anything, not just listening to some rock music or some rap music or some jokes, but the process of hearing about Krishna is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is stated, Jnane prayasamudapasyana manta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyavartam. Sthane stita shutigatang tanuvang manobhya. Ye prayasam ye jitajito apitai strilokyam. So, this is spoken by Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna. And he says that instead of thinking, I can work everything out by myself, I'm so great, one should become a little humble. And spend one's life hearing about Krishna. In whatever situation one may be. Of course, the sannyas ashram, to be a sannyasi means complete dedication. But whether one is in the grihastha ashram, one can be a 5-year-old girl. What happened to our 5-year-old? Here she is over here. So, whatever situation you're in, if we are very serious about hearing about Krishna and dedicating ourselves to Krishna, then we can conquer Krishna by love. No one can conquer Krishna. He is supreme. But we can win, that means we can win his heart. Bhakti means love. Not the love of this world, but the love of Krishna, who is the most lovable person. Everyone is looking for happiness. But happiness ultimately means the happiness of love, not the happiness of taking, not the happiness of enjoying our senses or trying to exploit or dominate others, but the happiness of love. And that's probably why so many Bollywood movies are about love. But the problem is, in this material world, whatever love is there is always accompanied by birth, death, old age, and disease, and the people who we think we might love, they're not perfect. And so they cannot perfectly reciprocate love. And even if we're very happy with the person that we love, we are forcibly separated by time due to the cruel condition of this material world. But Krishna is that person who can fully reciprocate love. And that love is eternal, because Krishna is eternal. Is eternal and complete and fully satisfying, and that is the position of complete happiness. So the yogis who go away to the caves and the forest to meditate and remove themselves from the false love of this world, they only got half the story right. They understood that this world is miserable and that we have to withdraw ourselves from it and cultivate spirituality, but that spiritual life is not just withdrawing ourselves, but giving ourselves to Krishna in love. They missed that part. So that part can be done in any situation. Of course, some situations are more favorable for others. We were just discussing today how actually Kuwait is very good for spiritual life. You may think, Kuwait? Well, I thought you're supposed to go to Vrindavan or Dwaraka, and it's recommended in Shastra that one should live in Dwaraka or Vrindavan, not in Kuwait. It's never recommended anywhere in Shastra that for spiritual life one should go to Kuwait. But circumstantially, it's actually quite good for spiritual life, because one thing is, everyone can realize that apart from the money that you're earning more than you would have done in India, which is why you're all here, otherwise the place is miserable. There's nothing of... I mean, there are some good things. There's champa flowers you can offer to Krishna. Very nice. You get food, good food, yeah, but that's imported from India, so what was the advantage of coming here? And it's already at least a day old, 2 days old by the time it reaches here. Otherwise, there's nothing attractive. The climate is extremely difficult. Of course, there's air conditioning, but it's all artificial. But even materially, there's nothing attractive. There are no nice parks or gardens. There's no social life. There's nothing to do. Like in India, you can go out and it's not so hot in the evening, and you can stroll around and meet your friends and their social life and all kinds of things to do. But here, there's nothing to do. It's great for spiritual life. There's nothing else to do. Plus, you can very easily get the realization that after all, this material world is not very attractive. I'm not saying it's the ideal situation and we should tell all the sadhus and yogis in India to come out to Kuwait. They probably wouldn't get visas anyway. They wouldn't be allowed in. We could have a Kumbh Mela in Kuwait, but you have to bathe in the river. Are there any rivers here? Rivers of oil, maybe. That's all. There's the sea, but that's all polluted by oil also. It is an amazing feature of this modern age, which is it's so extremely materialistic that billions of barrels of oil are pumped out of from underground so that people can fly here and there, and all kinds of different products are made from oil. just for the sake of increasing gross materialism. But in this age, which is so materialistic, people can become highly spiritually advanced, even while living in the midst of materialistic society. And that is the great mercy of Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in this Kali Yuga. He is Krishna himself, and he has given us this process of spiritual advancement, which is not something that someone made up. He is Krishna himself, but he speaks from Shastra, and Shastra states, Brihannaradiya Purana, Harenama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalao, Nasceva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way for spiritual advancement but to chant the holy names of Hari, Harina. The holy names of Hari, the holy names of Hari. So in whatever situation one is in, one can chant the holy names of Krishna and become spiritually advanced. Of course, that doesn't mean that one can go on with the attempt for material enjoyment and still make spiritual advancement. But one gets this strength to become detached from material enjoyment by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, and if one chants the name of Krishna with faith, then one gets the strength to become free from all bad habits and sinful activities. In Kali Yuga, people don't even know what is sinful activity. Just like in India, until recently, pretty much everyone knew that meat eating and drinking alcohol and abortion, these are all sinful. But nowadays, people don't know and they don't care. So, it's a very bad age, but by the power of chanting that Krishna invests in us, if we sincerely chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we get the strength to give up all these things. So this is the process of spiritual advancement. The Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga is chanting the names of Krishna. So this Krishna consciousness movement is based on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, which is quite short, but it, in essence, it has all spiritual knowledge. Bhagavad Gita is different to the Bible or the Quran, in which people are you're just told to believe it. That's all. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives spiritual knowledge to Arjuna, and he wants Arjuna to understand it. Krishna doesn't just say to Arjuna, here, look, listen, Arjuna, I'm God and you better believe in me or I'll throw you in hell forever. He doesn't say that, which is what I learned in my Christian upbringing, that you just have to believe it, otherwise you burn in hell forever. And why? Don't ask. Yeah, it was that's a summary of my whole Christian upbringing, which at around the age of 12 made me think, well, this is all rubbish. I'm going to be an atheist. And about a year or two later, I thought, well, there probably is God, but these people don't know who he is. So in Bhagavad Gita, it's a completely different approach in which Krishna wants Arjuna to understand the principles of spiritual knowledge. And he explains that to him. And he takes questions from Arjuna. And Arjuna expresses doubts. And Krishna explains how the Atma is different from the body. The body is material and temporary. The Atma, the spiritual being, the actual person, who may have been born in a particular body 39 years ago, but is eternal. We are all Atma. We all existed before the present body that we're in. And when this body inevitably dies, we shall continue to exist. And we're identifying with each body. That is the cause of our suffering in this material world. And we can get free from that suffering by understanding that just as we are Atma, Krishna is Paramatma. He is the Supreme Person who we are eternally related with in a bond of love. So Krishna explains all these things. So this Krishna consciousness movement is based on the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, which is more elaborately explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, and on the chanting of the holy names, which is a practical process everyone can do in any situation. Chant the names of Krishna. Very easy thing to do. And the chanting of the holy names revives our love of Krishna. So that is an introductory talk, as I'm told that many of you here are new. How many of you are new to Krishna consciousness? Yeah, not so many. You're an old timer, is it? You've been coming for 5 years, is it? She's an old timer. She's getting a lot of attention today. Everyone likes little girls, isn't it? Does everyone like you? Yes, good. All right. You have another little girl, a little older. How old are you? How old?
5.
Fine. Umar kitna hai? She's very quiet and shy. That's a good... She's also 5. So that's a good quality for a girl. What is that? This Lajja is supposed to be the Nari Bhushan. So that's a little summary of what this Krishna Consciousness Movement is all about. There's a lot more to be heard and said and done, but that's a little summary. And if anyone has any questions, they can ask about all this. Questions, comments, protests, all welcome. You're not going to say anything. She's a quiet girl. Okay. No.
Human being, by the chanting or by the offering of Krishna, start thinking about Krishna or speaking about Krishna, yeah, I try to avoid to get another body in the material world.
Yeah.
So other souls like animals, birds, they are able to.
Yeah, you're saying that as a human you can practice Krishna consciousness and get out of this material world and go to Krishna. What about living beings in other bodies? Well, they don't have such a facility. It's not impossible for them to become Krishna conscious by the grace of the Supreme Lord and His devotees, but generally it's only in the human life that we have sufficient intelligence to even begin to understand these things. Therefore, Krishna says, this is in Srimad Bhagavatam, Labdva sudurlabhamidang bahu sambhavante manusham arthadam anityam apihadhira turnam yatetana patedanumritya yavan nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. Krishna says that this human life is very rarely achieved, but now we got it. And it won't last very long, but still, it's very valuable because in this life we have the opportunity to act in such a way that we don't have to get born again. Therefore, we should act in such a way, we should make a decision to act in such a way that when we die, before death, we should do whatever is required so that we don't get born again. And as far as enjoying this world is concerned, you might think, well, what about enjoying myself? Well, you can do that in all species of life. The camel, the giraffe, the monkey, the chimpanzee, the worm in your intestine. They're all enjoying in their own way, the so-called enjoyment. But it's only in human life that we have the opportunity to cultivate spiritual values. So that should be done in this life. Take the opportunity now, before you end up as the worm in someone else's intestine. Yeah.
It's said that human life is rare.
Human life is rare, yeah, that's a fact. Because there are so many other species of life in great numbers. I mean, this is a human body. Within the human body itself, there are so many other living beings. In Kuwait, you won't find much, but in if you find an Indian city with 10 lakh population of humans, it'll probably have 10 crores of mosquitoes. Right? And that's only one species.
But as we see, day by day, population has been increasing. Now it's crossed 7 billion.
7 million? Where?
7 billion.
7 billion in the world. More than 7 billion humans in the world.
So is it, and we see that devotees are a very minuscule part of human population. Is it correct to
devotees are a small part of the human population.
Is it correct to say that human birth is rare, at the same time being a devotee in the human birth is the rarest?
Yeah, it's rare to get a human body and rarer still to take up devotional service. So it's a great opportunity. If you get the association of devotees and the guidance and the opportunity to do so. So take it up and try to help others to take this opportunity also. So, Hare Krishna, we'll finish there.